the first John, not the book of the Gospel of John, but first John, just before the book of Revelation. Sweetheart, you got it. I'm going to turn that over so the microphone is off. There we go. All right, so 1 John chapter 3. The general teaching on 1 John is that they were written much later than all the other Gospels and everything, closer to 90 AD. I don't believe that for 5 seconds. That's just writings of the church fathers or whatever. The internal evidence is that 1 John was written about the same time as Jude, about the same time that the letters went out from different apostles to the people out there and such, and the warnings, and written through that period of time. But regardless of that, 1 John chapter 3, I'm going to look at verse 8, and I want to pick up on something here that it says. And Pastor Hayne, would you pray for this service?
Father in heaven, our desire is for your Spirit to empower the pastor, for him to make clear to us who listen the truth and teaching of your word. Be present now, Father, and accomplish your will in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
1 John chapter 3, verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Okay? Anybody in here hasn't committed sin the last 7 days? No, there's nobody in here who hasn't committed sin the last 7 days. So there's still parts of you that are of the devil. Okay? What we call the old nature, that kind of thing. If you're a saved person, if you're not, you're all of the devil. Okay? But he that committeth sin is of the devil. And it says, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. Okay? Now, what's he talking about there? He's talking about the beginning of sin. He's not talking about before there was God or anything of that sort. When you see that term in the beginning, you better decide the beginning of what, okay? Because that term in the beginning is used at least 7 times in your Bible that chronologically are not the same time, okay? And you always have to go back in the beginning of what. So the devil sinneth from the beginning. And then it says this, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I wanted to get on that. Now, I talked this morning about Pastor Richard Hack in Horseheads, who I think to be just a tremendous man of God. And again, I know enough of his life to know that God personally took an interest in him and destroyed much of the works of the devil. Okay? How did he do that? Crushed him. It just made him an unbelievable man of God. I've had some crushing in my own life, crushing things where God just had to destroy the works of the devil. It was in me, and he just destroyed those things in me. And yet I sense there's probably still some crushing that needs to be done, okay? It's hard, first of all, being a Christian, because God is determined to destroy the works of the devil, and too many of us still have the works of the devil in us, and he's determined to destroy it, okay? Now, it's interesting, because the lost, called the sons of Belial in the Old Testament, okay, sons of the devil, the lost people. That's what a lost person is. God's determined to destroy the works of the devil. A, he did it on the cross at Calvary and taking it all upon himself. Destroyed it there. Whipped my back. Pulled my beard out. Okay, put that spear in my side. Put the nails in my hands. Let me die. Okay, put the crown of thorns on my head. Let's destroy the works of the devil. A person who will not receive that will be placed in hell forever. God will destroy the works of the devil. Okay, that's for this purpose was the Son of God manifest. I want to look at this a little more closely, the works of the devil, and just take a look at how Jesus Christ dealt with that. But let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. Never forget going to Catholic release time when I was a kid. We used to walk from the old Delavan Machias school. We had to walk over to the Pius X school there on Fridays. They'd have release time where, you know, and a priest would teach us or a nun would teach us for a while. But I'll never forget one time asking a smart aleck answer to a question to a priest. And he did a very wise thing. He actually sent a kid out and came back in those days. You know, the nuns had everything they needed to sew kids up or whatever. They got thimbles. He took a big mixing bowl and he filled it full of water. And he said, here's God's brain, here's yours. All right? And he started pouring all the water from God's brain into my little brain. All right? And he said, you know what? He's got so much more in there. You're trying to make God fit with what you can think in that thimble. That's what you're trying to do. And of course, we know now that that wasn't even close. If you were to take the smallest atom in the world and stick it under Niagara Falls, it still wouldn't go into the difference between God's brain and your brain. Okay? God says, my thoughts are not as your thoughts. God created everything. He's not proud of it. You know, we make one little thing, we're so full of pride. God made the heavens, and he says he has to humble himself. Psalm 113, even to look upon it. Okay? But the thing is, we want God to fit our concept of good, our concept of bad, and God gave us concepts of good and bad, and if you look at his concepts, it works. If you take your own concepts, it doesn't work. Okay? It turns things into horribleness. One of the things that, I remember one of the things I struggled with when I first started reading the Bible and getting involved in it, and really considering this idea, do I want to live this Christian life? As I thought to myself, I can never let go of the idea of evolution. I just, how could I ever let go of that? And I remember listening to a preacher who went through a four-point thing on evolution. When he got done, I thought, oh my goodness, how can anybody believe that? You know, and, but one of the things he brought up is this. If you find a country in this world that is doing good for its people, I'm not talking about a perfect country. Every country's got crummy things that happen. Every person in here has crummy things, okay? One of the things they do in college today is they'll take a good person and go and give them a colonoscopy and tell you all the bad things about them, okay? So that you're ashamed of our history. You're ashamed of our forefathers. Was there anybody here that I couldn't go and look at your life and if I could have the FBI's authority and, you know, subpoena power and look at every aspect of your life, that I couldn't come in here and make you look like an awful person next week? Of course I could. But that would be taking everything out of context. Well, people do that with history in the United States. Well, they did mean to these Indians. That's right. That we did. That was awful what we did. But again, you have to put that stuff in context. Are the Indians treated bad today? Is there any Indian who can't go and live on Wall Street or do anything else? Go to college? No, there isn't any such thing, okay? But again, it's that idea. But here's what the man pointed out. He pointed out the countries that have developed liberty and freedom for all are countries who their very form of government came from the 16 and 1700s. When men believed they were created by God. When men believed that they had to answer to God. And those nations built on those principles, and even to this day, people are crowding trying to get into them. He says, now find the nations that decided to take the concepts of Darwinism, evolution, philosophy, and build their nations on that. He said, they're hellholes. People do anything. They have to build walls to keep people in. Okay? They have to go to great lengths to hold people there, and it's horrible, hellish to live in those countries. And he said, you'll know them by their fruits. Why is it anybody who ever tries to put evolution into practice in a government, it turns into hell, okay? Turns into absolute hell. But when anybody tries to take the principles of creation, of the Word of God, put them into a government, everybody wants to go live in that land, okay? So it's one of those things, again, understanding the fruits of things and how it works. Now, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to look at the work of the devil. Now, the serpent, verse 1, was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, ye shall eat of the fruit of the tree. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall surely not die. For God doth know in that day ye eat thereof, that when your eyes shall be opened, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You know, one of the works of the devil was this, is getting people to question the very word of God. Get people to doubt what God even said. It's one of the works of the devil. Now let me tell you something. You're not human if you haven't stood there and wondered at certain things the Bible says. I have people come up to me, well, Pastor, I don't believe that Bible. I've never been mad at somebody for that. I never ostracize them because they don't believe the Bible. You know what I tell them to do? Give it a shot. You got a mind. Go and start reading that Bible. Start digging into it. Look at what it says. And you know what? To this day, I still haven't found anybody that's given an honest look and looked into it and hasn't been convinced the Bible is the Word of God. Now, I know a lot of people who won't look at it, or look at it, find something they don't like, squeal. You know, you ever squirt a big old spider with insect spray and somebody twist up and wants up and down like, and I've seen people find one little thing in the Bible they don't like and well, look into it again or whatever else. But I've never seen anybody give it a long, hard look and examine each of the things in it has not been convinced that this is the Word of God. Whoever created me, this is the owner's manual. This is the book by the one that created me. This explains more of me. And explains nothing more frustrating than to have a car and have the wrong owner's manual. It's frustrating. You know, you've got a 2013 Toyota Camry and you've got the owner's manual for the 2014. And it works for almost everything, but you can't set the clock radio. Never. It's just frustration and tears because you got the wrong one. Well, you know what? When you get a King James Bible, you realize after a while that no matter what you try, no matter what you work and you put it in your life, it works exactly right. Okay? And anything you go against it, it hurts you to go against it. It fills you full of depression and misery to go against it. You realize after a while, whoever created me wrote that book. Okay? They wrote that book. So the thing is, one of the works of the devil is to get people to question that, throw it aside, use their own reasoning and such. It's one of the reasons Jesus Christ came, was to destroy the works of the devil. You know what? He destroyed that work in me. He taught me that the Word of God is the Word of God. He taught me that a King James Bible is the Word of God. I made the statement finally there in Horseheads, and I put it out, and I just showed him this book, and I said, this book here, as edited through these years, is an exact copy, line on line, word on word, comma on comma, italization on italization, exactly what God the Father has sitting in heaven next to him. Exactly. Okay? There's not one iota difference with what we have here. Okay? And it took a while for me to see that. It took me a while to believe that. But you know what? When you give it an honest and you give it a good look, God will show you that. God will make that plain to you and you'll see that is so. Why? Because Jesus Christ is gracious and will destroy the works of the devil in you. Now it goes on a little bit more and it says this. Verse 5, for God doth know in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And you want to know something? Gods get to choose their own of what's good and evil. They get to choose their own idea. This is good, that's evil. This is good, that's evil. And you want to know something? One of the things that perverts men over the years is changing the idea of what's good and what's evil. It perverts them. The Bible says, woe unto him that calls evil good. And nowadays we have that, okay? We have that. Do you realize 79% of the people of New York, when polled, do not like the new abortion law? Yeah. Do you realize you can take a woman that she is absolutely pregnant and her water has broken and that child is now headlong and it's ready to come out and you can take that baby and you can kill it then. That moment, okay, you can kill it. And it has absolutely no rights whatsoever. And you know what? The governor signed it. Hooray, they're calling evil good. Okay? God hates that. Hates it. And Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy that. But you know what? We're not going to go to march on Albany and destroy that. It needs to be destroyed in us. In us. Each one of us, individual, your own homes, your own life, you establish them what you ought to be. You raise your kids to know what they ought to know. Raise your kids to be free thinkers. Yes. What do you mean by free thinkers? Let them be exposed to what the schools are teaching us. But be able to sit there and explain to them at your dinner table at night. Okay? Show them what the world really is. Show them. My kids would come up and say, well, you know, so-and-so's on drugs now, so-and-so's pregnant, so-and-so's this. And I would just sit and tell them, well, this is what's going to happen to them the next year or so. And they'd go out and say, boy, Dad, that's exactly what happened. Okay? That's exactly what went on. You know, my children would be able to come to me and say, you know, so-and-so's doing this and that. We never narked on those kids. My kids always had the free to be able to come to me and talk about that stuff. We didn't narc on it or anything else. My kids could come and talk about it and go on. They used to go camping with a boy up the road who we knew was on drugs, and I'd let him go camping with him. Why? Because we had that back and forth. And you know what? Camping out at night's a healthy thing to do for boys to do and such. And, you know, it's good to be out there and you know, hunting frogs and all that kind of thing that they do. They can get into drugs. We kept that wide open. Teach your kids to be open and free thinkers, okay? But you want to know something? If they come out of the Cuba Rushford Central School and then go on to the average college somewhere and get involved in that, they will be so locked up in their thought they couldn't think free if they tried.
That's right.
Okay? They are so locked up. I read an article yesterday by a neuroscientist, an old one. And he said, you know, in his early days, he said, I made the mistake of thinking men's brains and women's brains were the same. And whenever we did studies, we'd only study men, thinking they were the same. And he said, one day we realized, oh my goodness, none of these studies come out the same if you're studying women. That their brains are different. Wow! Your grandma could have told him that, all right? But the point is, you know, and he said then there was a revolution in neuroscience for 30 to 40 years where people realized that the very sex of individuals is right down to the cellular level written in it. And he said it's so hard today for him to pick up scientific journals to see they've gone back for political correctness. There's no difference. I am politically correct. Mao Zedong is a good man. Ho Chi Minh is good. Men and women, there is no difference between them. If a man wants to climb in bed with a man, it is a good thing. We can kill our babies. We can do these things. It is okay. Sure, you're a free thinker.
That's right.
You're a brainwashed twit. Okay?
Yes,
you ain't got the brains God give a soda cracker.
Yes,
need to be a free thinker. Somebody go in, you read all that stuff you want, read the Word of God and know it. Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil, and one of the works of the devil is shutting your mind off. Come out of there, everybody quoting the same thing, chanting in unison. If a man wants to be a girl, he can be a girl. If a man wants to be, quote it all you want, okay? And I've told people, take me down to Ralph Wilson Stadium, stand me in the middle of it, and let 80,000 people chant that I'm wrong, and it ain't gonna bother me. I had the works of the devil destroyed in me. I have a free mind. I can think like I wanna think.
Good.
You know what's interesting? My conservative friends all think I'm a liberal. My liberal friends all think I'm a conservative. You know why? Because I'm a free thinker. I read. I think. I evaluate things. I look at it. Okay? I'm able to do that. Why? Because Jesus Christ gave himself for me and destroyed the works of the devil. Some of them. My wife will tell you there's still a few out there. She's doing her best to get rid of them. It says this, verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave it also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and that they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. You know one of the things that happened? Their innocence got destroyed. Their innocence got destroyed. If there's any one thing that grieves me about our society today, it's that we destroy innocence right down to the very child level, okay? Right down to the very child level, destroy innocence. Take children when they're very young and begin to expose them to the sensual sides of their bodies and the reproductive processes and things that God never intended for them. He didn't even develop their bodies to that point yet. Both our Amish speakers agreed on the same thing. 65% of all Amish children now are molested when they're young. Okay?
Yeah.
I don't know what the proportion is amongst the English, meaning us, but it's high. It's high. It's way too high. We have so many people in here who've suffered from it and gone through it. Why? Innocence being taken away. Innocence being destroyed far too young in life, taken away from people. And there's not a person here who'll say, oh, that was a good thing that happened to me. Do you realize 3/4 of all homosexuals say, I was molested when I was young? Somebody took them when they were young. A man did and taught them those things and perverted them. Okay? Oh, it's just natural. God made me this way. No, he didn't. And if he did, it was a punishment. It was a punishment. You know what the Bible says? And you know something, by the way? What does phobia mean?
Fear.
Fear. Anybody ever seen me afraid of a homosexual? If you call me a homophobic, you're an idiot. I'm not afraid of homosexuals. I'm not afraid of heterosexuals. Okay? I'm not afraid of either one. I've loved everyone that I've ever met. And nobody will ever find a time that I've ever gone up to somebody cruel to them, mean to them, because of things that have happened and gone out of their lives and sins that have gone out of them. I cry for them. I get mad when people get on them. Okay? Homophobic. You stupid idiot. You wouldn't know homophobic if it bit you on the nose. All right? Means we're afraid of something. Right? Most people there are truthophobic. Terrified the truth will come to them. Terrified it's going to happen to them. Okay? Homosexuals are recruited in most cases. Recruited, destroyed, defiled young. Grow up with that. It's an awful thing that happens. And I'm the last person on God's earth who will throw stones at them. Okay? But you know what the Bible says? For this cause. What cause? Because they did not want to retain the truth of God. It says God turned them over to a reprobate mind to do those things that were not convenient. Men with men. Okay? That's a punishment God throws. He threw it on this whole nation in the year 2013. Why? Because he's sick of this nation. You know what the next step is? Humiliating military defeat. That's the next step that comes along. Humiliating military defeat. Okay? Then the pestilences come. God's sick of this nation.
Yes, he is.
Okay? But he doesn't have to be sick of you. And God forbid, if I hear there's somebody in my church persecuting somebody, I'll have a hard time with you. I'll have a real hard time with you. You go out there and you be as nice to everybody as you know how to be nice to. And if they've fallen into one of those traps, you be nice to them. And you love that person. Doesn't mean you have to go in and defile yourself with the junk they're defiled in. Okay? Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. One of the works of the devil was destroying people's innocency. Now, there's never been a time when that kind of thing wasn't going on. Anybody ever read a Cruden's Concordance? It's one of the oldest concordances out there. The Cruden's Concordance was put together in the 1700s. Cruden himself had a girl, a woman that he had this great love for. He was always a mentally unstable man himself. This was back in the 1700s. And one time he knocked at their door and no one answered. And he went in and found the woman he loved with her own brother. And the two of them going at things together. And he went into an insanity for a while over having seen it. I mean, that stuff's gone on as long as man's been around. The point is it's proliferating today because we've taken all the boundaries away. We've taken all that stuff away. You know, the sad part is that poor young man, and I mean this when I'm going to say Michael Jackson, that poor young man who grew up, his brother started out with the Jackson 5, and he grew up in that, molested by every stage manager that came along and grew up there in Hollywood. They say those Hollywood stars just grow up with molestation and everything you can imagine that went on. That's why so many of them killed themselves. And then he went on and become a molester himself, and the proof is so overwhelming you can't even begin to see it. Once he died, people said, yeah, he paid me to lie. You know what Barbara Streisand said? Well, his sexual needs were his sexual needs. You just come out and said that. The people who went there wanted to go there. Okay? It's the kind of society we live in. Innocence taken away. Evil is called good. Okay? There is nothing that you can imagine that can't be said somewhere by a talking head on TV. And when it's first said, everybody goes, ah!
that within 10 years won't be accepted as mainstream. Because if they'll go through and convince all the little kids in high school, all the little kids in college, and they'll talk about it, and after a while people will be sitting here and they'll just say, oh, just leave it alone, let those people be, and pretty soon some evil thing is accepted by everybody. Jesus Christ came here to destroy the works of the devil. You want to know one of the things is? He can give you back your innocence.
Yes, thank you.
Okay? Yes. I've told my boys this. There's two words. One of them, virginity. The other one's chastity. I've known girls who were virgins who weren't chaste. They had foul mouths, talked dirty, lived licentious, watched nasty things. You don't want to marry a girl like that. But I've known girls who've made bad mistakes. I mean bad mistakes. Who then, by the grace of God, began to live chaste. Began to think chaste. Began to think holy. You know what? She'll make a good wife. She'll make a good wife. Don't you worry about that. Don't you worry that she's gone made these mistakes here and there and everything else. I had a man under my ministry. I know this man is absolutely a virgin, close to 30 years old. I know that for a fact. The woman he fell in love with at one time had defiled herself in almost every way that you can imagine. And I just said, it has to do with your manhood, buddy. Your manhood. And you go ahead and put your arm around her and be a man and absolutely take away the shame of that life.
Yes,
and say, you're mine from now on. The veil of my life is over your life. And I'm your husband. And can you do that? And you know what? They've done a fine job. Done it five, probably been close to 30 years since they got married. Just done a fine job. A lot of children, good marriage. Why? Because we have a gracious God that can restore that stuff. Old Fanny Crosby said it. Deep in the human heart, touched by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. You know what grace can? Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. Came to destroy that. Goes on a little bit more and it says this. The eyes of the both of them were open and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And you know what? Well, we'll go on a little bit more. Verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. And I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Part of the works of the devil is there was a gulf built between God and man. There was a gulf built. Where man suddenly was ashamed to look upon God, ashamed to be near him or anything else. And you know what they did? They sewed fig leaves and aprons together. That's man putting religion together. That's man putting together something that's not of God, trying to make some other way to get to God. You want to know something? Let me tell you something. I don't talk politics much here, but the current president of the United States, who I pray for President Obama, I pray for President Clinton, I pray for President Bush, I pray for every president. You know why? They're the ruler of my people, and I pray for them, okay? But I myself would not vote for a man that said, I won't allow Muslims in this country, and I would not vote for him. You know why? Because I'm a Baptist. We believe in absolute freedom of religion. I got a hold of a book one time, a Jewish history of Jews in the United States, meant for children in their Jewish schools. And it said there was no place on the earth after the Muslim kingdom of Spain fell where a Jew could be safe until we were allowed to build synagogues in Rhode Island. We have no idea why those good people allowed us to do it. You know why? They were Baptists. They didn't believe that you had any right to tell people how to live or what religion they could be, okay? Didn't believe that. But when a man comes along and says, we'll stop Muslim integration, as a Baptist, I'm not voting for that man, okay? It's just a principle I will not bend on. You say, will you vote for him next time? I don't know. It depends on whether or not I see that he's bent on that principle, okay? I'm just not going to do it. I believe in freedom of your conscience, freedom of religion. I would never... In a million years, if there was a Muslim temple down here and people were attacking it, I'd give my life to protect that, okay? Because I believe in that. You want to know something? I believe that in a free intercourse of ideas, put out there and people allowed to freely hear them, that eventually mine will prevail because they are the truth. That's why I fight for freedom of speech. You know what my enemies think? They think that in a free course, with everybody allowed to hear me, that people would follow what I say. Therefore, they want to ban what I say. Okay? Because they're afraid of the truth. They don't want the truth getting out there. They don't want it said. So they throw names, they throw things at you, and everything else. Okay? Jesus Christ came here to destroy the works of the devil. One of the works of the devil is religion. All right? This idea of men making all these rules and such of how we're going to live. No, Jesus isn't a religion. He's a person.
That's right.
The cross and the resurrection are not a religion. They're history. The things that really happened. Okay? You could teach them in a history class and it would be valid history. Okay? He did die. He was buried. He did resurrect. He sits in heaven forever. That's valid history. It really did happen. That's not a religion. Okay? It's not a religion. Here's God looks down upon the children of men to see if there were any good, any that did understand. He said, no, not one. Okay? Years ago, a book was written called The Lord of the Flies, and it was a great insight into what would happen if you just took some rich British boys and put them on an island together. Pretty soon it turned into mayhem and killing and everything else. And these were from the better class of England. It's called Lord of the Flies. Okay, tremendous book showing how that works. And I just showing how that mentality and how all the civilization broke down inside of them and such. You know what the two most educated nations in the world were in 1939? Japan and Germany had the highest rates of education of any nation in the world in 1939. You think education's the key? It's got to be the right education, okay? It's got to be learning the right stuff. Ron Cunningham, pastor in Aliquippa, Pennsylvania, he said this. He said, all anybody ever really needs in education is they need enough education to put groceries on the table, read a King James Bible, and keep their own rear end clean.
Amen.
And he said, the sad part is we've pretty well failed in America on all three, okay? It's just not there anymore. Jesus Christ says, obeyed the Father and said, I'll tell you what, I'll go down there and I'll take the curse of the earth upon myself. I'll let them spit in my face. I'll let them pull my beard off. I'll let them take the thorns of the earth and jam them down upon my brow. I'll take the whip that was for the fool's back and I'll let them flay the skin off my back with it. And then I'll take the curse of mankind and each one individually on the cross. And I'll die for that with their spit running down my face. And then I'll die because I trust that you'll resurrect me. And he resurrects and he says, now go tell all men what I've done for them. And somebody says, I want a different way. I think we're going to go bow to this country here. And I think we'll go burn this. We want a different way. That one wasn't quite good enough for us. What more do you want God to do for you?
That's right.
Okay? You know what? And I defend their right to do that. More than any person you'll ever meet, I defend people's rights to disagree with God. Okay? But I'll also tell them the truth. And again, I'm not for the word hell being used in conversation. But Harry Truman, they used to say, give him hell, Harry. You know where that came from? They yelled that at a campaign stop one time, and he said, you know, all I do is tell those men in Congress the truth, and they think it's hell. All right? I go out and tell people the truth, and they think it's just awful and terrible, and you're some Neanderthal, and you're corrupted, and oh my goodness, look at what you are, and everything else. I hope that every person that ever runs across my life finds nothing but the absolute love and compassion and anything that I can do to make your life better and let you know the truth. Have you healed in the inward parts by the grace of Jesus Christ and by his mercy, because he died to destroy the works of the devil. Okay? Died to destroy that. And I want to see that destroyed in you. Okay? Charles Wesley wrote 2nd Adam from above. Okay? Fill us with thy wondrous love. And he said, stamp your image, Jesus Christ, in the place of what that devil did. Stamp your image in its place. And that's all I've ever desired for anybody. You say you have a life full of love, of hope,
companionship, goodness, joy. But you know what? When I see things that I know destroy that in lives, I'm going to attack it. Even if it's you, I'm going to attack it because I know it's hurting you. If I saw a horrible virus in you, you don't want me to attack it if I can? Of course you would, with anything that I could. But you know what? Some of those viruses are things the devil put in you, and it hurts you, and it's miserable, and it's awful. We have so many people in here who came here so jacked up on antidepressants and misery pills and all that kind of stuff. Free of them today. Free of them. Free of them. Living so much happier, so much more full of joy. Why? Because finally they got rid of the stupidity of the world. The nonsense that bound them. Why? Because Jesus Christ died to destroy the works of the devil. And by the grace of God, I'm here to help you to find that relief. Pastor Hayne, would you close us?